In the 40s, the top situation comedy was Fibber McGee and Molly. Here's Jim Jordan, who played Fibber McGee. He no longer lives at radio's most popular address, 79 Wistful Vista, but he's about to go back there now.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. Johnson's Wax Products for Home and Industry present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryant, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra.
Oh, McGee, it's Mayor Latrivia. Hello, Mr. Mayor.
Hello, Molly. McGee.
Hi, Latriv. Sit down briefly. According to my schedule, I can give you 1 minute and 10 seconds, boy.
I'll settle for the 10 seconds, McGee. I've had it. Good day.
Oh, no, Mr. Don't go. Just sit right here and visit with me a while. Himself here is on a tighter schedule than the Berlin airlift, but I'm loafing.
I'm putting the housework on a business basis, Latrib. Everything on schedule. Efficiency, boy. You ought to try that at the City Hall sometime.
I'm trying to get several efficiency measures through the City Council now, McGee.
Oh?
In fact, I had lunch at the hotel with President Bates of the Council yesterday to talk about it.
Bates?
Oh.
Isn't he the man who fought you so hard the last time you ran for mayor, Mr. Mayor? And you had lunch with him?
Yes. Yes, if it will help to improve our government, Mrs. McGee, I can work with him. Politics, you know, make strange bedfellows.
How is that again, Latrib?
Oh, I merely remarked that politics make strange bedfellows. You see...
Did you have to stay overnight, Mr. Mayor?
Overnight? Where?
At the hotel where you had lunch. You said there was a strange fellow in your bed, so naturally...
No, McGee, I didn't mean that.
McGee found a horse in his bed one time. Yeah, he found a horse in his bed one time at a Legion convention, Mr. Mayor. But a bed full of strange politicians is worse.
Yeah.
You can shoot a horse, but a politician...
Please, just a minute. When I said politics make strange bedfellows...
You said a mouthful, boy. You really did. I went to a political rally in Chicago one time and had to share a room with two fat senators and a ward healer named Beeler. Was there a healer named Beeler in your room, Latrivia, because...
No, there wasn't. I didn't have any room. I didn't say I had a room. There wasn't any room at all, do you understand?
I'll say we understand, boy. The way them hotels ram 6 or 8 politicians into a room that was built for 3 brooms in a bucket, there ain't room in the room for anybody. How could you sleep that way, Latrivia, with all...
I didn't sleep that way.
Huh?
I leaped that day. Hey! I mean, look!
Now!
Hey!
Mr. Mayor, don't shout! Days, noise won't settle this.
Oh, sir, be calm, boy. We're your friends, Latrivia.
Heaven help me.
Now, you said you went to a luncheon, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
And then you said politics make strange bedfellows.
Yes, but I was...
Tell me one thing. Was there a ward healer named Beeler there? Because of all the strange bedfellows, he snored louder than...
There wasn't any strange bedfellow. A strange bedfellow. A lead fellow. Look, when I said politics make strange strange bedfellows, I didn't say anything about a strange room full of politicians. Full of politicians. Politicians. Full of missions. You're the one that said it. McGee.
Yes, boy?
I'd like to ask a favor. The police department pistol team is shooting target practice tomorrow morning. Would you help them out?
Oh, he'd love to, Mr. Mayor.
I'll be there, boy. Hey, what do they shoot at, Latrib?
You'll find out.
Gail Gordon, who did Mayor Latrivia.
Always the same way. Always great.
Turner McGee and Molly was a lot of fantasy. It took place in a mythical town, of course, called Wistful Vista. This town was mythical, and the street they lived on was mythical. Wistful Vista was not a small town either. It was a huge metropolis if we wanted it to be. It was anything we wanted it to be. You know, the basis of all humor in the, back in the beginning of the theater and so on was the lie.
Mr. McGee, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to inform you that you are now the champion liar of the world.
But he was always a liar and a bum. He never did anything. He never worked. And just a guy that caused trouble. He always got in fights with his friends. And he'd insult them, and he wouldn't play fair with them or anything else. But how he kept his friends, nobody knows, but he did. That's what was amazing. And this is what people enjoyed. Doc Gamble, he shouldn't have been a friend of a bum like this guy was. But he was, because he enjoyed him, and he felt that he was better. Actually, we all think we're better than that guy, which we are, I hope.
Well, for goodness sakes, McGee, look who just came in. Hello, Dr. Gamble.
Hello, my dear.
Hi, Doc. And what are you doing in the magic shop, Fumble Thumb? If you're trying to find out how to make yourself disappear, please do so and have them send me the bill.
May I ask what you're doing in here, Doctor? Are you a magician?
Is he a magician? You ever see his wizard thermometer? He sticks it under your tongue and pulls $300 out of your pocket.
Look, wobble jaw. I'm an even-tempered man, and I dislike to brawl in public. But a few more of your snide comments, and I shall be forced to throw a few knuckles into your unpaid-for teeth.
Who's going to throw whose knuckles into whose what? Why, you creepy old has-been that never was, you make one move toward me, and I'll stomp your mushy old frame right into the woodwork.
Oh, yes? Don't forget I've seen your muscles, such as they are.
Yeah.
And I happen to know you couldn't go two rounds with Margaret O'Brien. And the obligato to Mother McCree.
Boys, boys, boys. My goodness, after all.
Well, I don't think my character came from me. I mean, I don't think I was Fibber McGee in the least. I think I was the direct opposite from Fibber McGee. I didn't have a dirty closet. I wasn't a liar. I was very... I couldn't tell a lie and get away with it if I wanted to. I don't think I was the same as Fibber McGee. I think that was just a character that I played. That's the way I've always felt about it.
The bell would ring, and that would be the entrance cue for whoever it was, of course.
Hello there, Mr. Wimple.
Oh, hi, Wimp.
Hello, folks.
Taking a little stroll, Mr. Wimple?
Yes, in a way, Mrs. McGee.
Oh.
But mostly, I'm sort of a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetie Face, that's my big old wife, you know.
Yes, we know.
She's giving a bridge party for a lot of matrons.
What do you mean, matrons? Older women?
No, I mean matrons from the county jail.
Come in.
Oh, hi, old-timer.
Hello, Mr. Old-timer.
Hello there, kids. Hey, what you doing with a rope around your neck, Johnny?
Oh, I was just getting ready.
Oh, don't do it, Johnny. Things can't be that bad, boy.
Well, he's just going to see
you. Well, reconsider, Johnny. Don't be hasty. What if you are a dismal failure in life? Well, when I was your age, Johnny, I was a failure, too. Not as bad as you are, but a failure. No, that ain't gonna sell him, is it?
Come in.
Well, hello, Mrs. McGee. Hello, little chum.
Gildersleeve.
Hi, Mike. Nice to see you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Won't you have a chair and a cup of tea?
No, thank you, Mrs. McGee. I can't stay but a moment. I just dropped in to say goodbye. Oh, my lawnmower.
What about your lawnmower?
McGee never returned it. And I'm going to need it in Summerfield.
Now, wait a minute, Gildersleeve. You know very well that ain't your own lawnmower.
It is, too. You borrowed it.
It was mine, and you borrowed it.
Boys, boys, boys. My goodness.
Well, I'd go to answer the phone or go to take down the phone to get a number, and I'd say...
Hello, operator. Give me the residence of Brockport and Pete Goodwill. Huh? Oh, is that you, Mert?
No.
Dear, oh, dear. How's every little thing, Mert?
And I'd say, oh, is that you, Mert? Well, how's every little thing, Mert? Is that so? What? He did what? Oh, your beautiful Afghan, huh? Lost it. Well, what happened? Oh, I see. You went back to Afghanistan.
I never saw such a man. You either work like fury for a few minutes or you sit down doing nothing.
I know. I'm a member of the sweater set. I either sweat or set. Get it, Molly? I says I'm a member of the sweater set.
Ain't funny, McGee.
We grew up together. We were young teenagers together in the same town, Peoria, Illinois. That's where we met, of course. And that's where we were married, and then we went into show business after we were married. To go back to the early days of radio, there are very few women that really could speak and be heard and liked. She had the voice for this. She was the balancing influence that kept him from going to jail or having somebody beat him up. She kept things on a kind of an even keel. Well, the material would come from our own lives, and it would come from the lives of the people on the show. And the more real it was, the better it was. The more believable a situation could be, why, the easier it was to get laughs with it.
Hey, remember when we were kids in Peoria and I built that big hollow snowman with a tunnel under it and I'd crawl into it at night and talk to people when they walked past? Remember that?
Yeah. We went on some beautiful sleigh rides in Peoria, too.
Yeah.
In fact, I think the first time you ever kissed me was the night you rented the cutter from the livery stable.
Well, I had to kiss you, Tootsie. Had too much invested to waste the evening. Besides, holding hands is all right in the summertime, but when it comes mitten weather, a man has to establish better contacts.
I'll bet tonight would be a beautiful night for a sleigh ride, McGee.
I know where I can get a sleigh. Farmer friend of mine out on Route 62, Mel Hess. His name is Mel of a Hess, but they call him Mel for short. He'll rent us a sleigh. Well, I'll call old Mel then, huh?
What's his number, dearie?
I don't know. I got it wrote down in a little book here somewhere. Oh, I know. It's right here in the hall closet.
I hate sleigh rides.
No, I won't take a minute. I'm